Brand new series, Living a Life of Abundance is a Choice. So the series is about living a life of abundance, but specifically today, I want you to go from this place understanding living a life of abundance is a choice. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Everybody say overflow. You see, this is Jesus speaking, and he's telling those that will listen and hear, I've come to give you an abundant life, a life that is overflowing. And let me say right from the get-go on this message, this is not going to be a message about money. This is not a message about being wealthy. God can bless somebody abundantly and they can be wealthy, but that's not the message. The message is going to be about living an abundant life. And anybody who's ever made a lot of money knows that money cannot let you feel full and overflowing, and that life is awesome and abundant. So we are going to talk about a few different things. Over the next few weeks, we are going to have some of our in-house team. The speaking team is going to be helping with the message as well. We have Mikey is going to be sharing, Sarah Carpenter, Chris Nofto. They're going to be doing a group one again here soon, and they'll be looking at some of these topics. So we're going to talk about that God wants us to live a life of abundant love, a life of abundant purpose, a life of abundant peace, a life of abundant joy, and a life of abundant generosity. And in prayer, I brought these topics to the team and said, which ones do you want? Gary will also be doing one at a later time in the series. And they picked all of them except for abundant generosity, so that's the one I get to preach on next time I'm preaching on it. So it's going to be exciting. You are going to learn, and you are going to see what God really has for you. But today, very specifically, we are going to focus on the fact that it's a choice. You see, the first thing that comes about that you need to choose when we're talking about living the kind of life God wants for you, you are going to need to choose to leave some old things behind, and you're going to have to choose to enter some new things. I'm going to look at the children of Israel for a little bit because their story is so perfect for us today. You see, God's people were promised an abundant life in an abundant land. Exodus 3 verse 7 says this, then the Lord told him, he's speaking to Moses, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I'm aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean, a land flowing with milk and honey? It was a term in that day and age that simply meant that this was a land of extreme abundance, fertility, and prosperity. You see, if the land's flowing with milk, it means that there are herds are prospering, the cows and the goats are producing milk. It is a picture of extreme abundance. And God said, I am promising you a land like this. And of course, God first made that promise to Abraham. God came to Abraham one day and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland and your family, and I want you to go to a new location, a land that I'm going to show you, and it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a prosperous land. And so Abraham said, okay, I'll go. Now, you and I know that Abraham walked through the land, but he never possessed it. He never had it given to him, but God promised him that it would be for the generations after him. And Abraham believed him. Now the Israelites are in Egypt. They came there to sojourn because there was no food and Joseph was second in charge, but they became slaves. And for 400 years, they were slaves. And the slave masters got more and more ruthless. And now God is once again saying, I'm going to lead them out. And so he finds Moses and says, Moses, I want to lead them out. You see, God clearly says he's going to deliver them from Egypt, and he's going to lead them to the promised land that he told Abraham he would give. The Israelites wanted to live in the promised land of abundance. If they truly wanted to go there, they would have to leave Egypt, and they would have to enter somewhere new. And this is important. You see, the first thing that you realize when you want to enter a new life, a new way of doing things, you will have to leave the old behind. And for the Israelites, it was no different. You see, they had to make a physical, mental choice and begin taking steps of action towards the new land before it would ever happen. What do I mean? Let me read to you in Exodus chapter 12, or maybe I'll just explain it because it's a lot of reading. I want to explain this. Moses has finally come back to Egypt. All of the plagues have happened, but there's one more plague that is going to happen, and it's going to be horrible. And Egyptians, the Pharaoh, and everybody is going to say, get out. But before it happens, Moses talks to the people of Israel. And by the way, they tell us that there was over 2 million people that left Egypt. 2 million people, Moses is saying, okay, here's what I need you guys to do. You need to get a lamb ready for tonight. You need to take a lamb that has no spot, no blemish. You need to roast it, and then you need to eat it. And he said, you need to eat it with your coats on, your shoes tied up, and your walking sticks in your hand, because tonight you're leaving Egypt. I want you to get this picture in your mind. Every single one of the Israelites had to make a conscious decision. All right, I want this new life. I'm going to leave Egypt. I mentally right now say yes, and physically I'm going to do what I can. You see, at that moment, they had not been given the okay to leave. They were still slaves. The only thing they could do was take a lamb. And they said, okay, we'll do it. And of course, part of that lamb, if you remember, they had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost so the death angel would pass by. All of it, a conscious decision, a small step of faith while they were still slaves. We'll do it. We're still slaves, but we are consciously saying, we are making a decision, we are choosing that we're leaving. We put the blood on the doorpost, we cooked it, we eat it, we have our coats on, our sandals are laced up, and our walking sticks are in our hands. You see, when it comes time for you to choose a life of following Jesus, when it comes time for you to choose an abundant life that he's provided, you will have to make a decision here and here first. And once you've made a decision there, it will begin to show in the actions you take. They had to decide, we are done with Egypt. You know, they didn't just have to leave a physical place behind. They were actually going to have to leave an entire attitude and way of living behind. But for that moment, they were making the decision. They were making a conscious choice. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to look like. But okay, we will do it. We will be ready to leave tonight. And if you know the story, the firstborn in Egypt died, and the Pharaoh and every Egyptian said, get out of here, go, go, go. They had to choose to leave that old way of living behind. They went from being slaves to free nomadic travelers. Their way of living dramatically changed. Slaves woke up when they were told to, went to work when they were told to, slept when they were told to, ate when they were told to, and they just were on repeat. And now they were free, and they got to make the choice to go through the wilderness, to follow a leader. You see, when we choose to enter the abundant life that Christ provides, we have to leave the old way of living behind. You truly want to enter in fully to what God has, you will have to leave the old way behind. Jesus once healed a man and he healed a man who was sick for 38 years. The story is the man at the pool of Bethesda. The man laid on a bed and he was so sick that he could barely move. And Jesus found him there at this pool of Bethesda and said to him, "Do you want to be well?" And his answer was, "I do, but I have nobody here to let me down in the pool." You see, in that day, at that time, that pool of Bethesda, it was said that an angel would come stir the water, and the first person in would be healed. But he said, "I have nobody in. Well, I never make it in." Jesus looked at him and said, "Take up your bed and walk." He spoke to him the words of healing, and the words of healing required him to take a step away from what he knew. Can you imagine? He's been there how long? He can't, in his mind and everything in him is like, "I can't walk. That's why I'm here." Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." It's like, well, if he's telling me, I guess I could try. He gets up, he takes his bed, he's completely healed, and he's walking. Now, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, see him walking with his bed, and they just get angry. The guy's been sick for 38 years. He's healed now, and all they can think of is the Sabbath day. How come you're carrying your bed? We decided a long time ago that was work. And so you're breaking our traditional law. How dare you? Who told you to do this? He didn't even know who told him to do it. But that isn't the end of the story. He experienced God's miraculous love and power to change his physical body. But scripture tells us that Jesus later found him. That's in John 5:14. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Stop. Everybody say stop. You see, when you choose to follow Jesus, when you say, "I want this new abundant life," you will have to stop some things. And one of those is you have to stop sinning. Jesus said, "Stop sinning." In other words, you stop sinning. It is a choice. To live in sin is a choice. To step out of living in sin is a choice. I didn't say it was an easy choice. I didn't say it would be smooth and no issues, but it is a choice. And Jesus says, stop. He's saying, you need to stop. You see, your life changes when you hear the truth, believe it, and act on it. To live a life of abundance, you will have to leave some things behind. Also, to live a life of abundance, you will have to choose to grasp and embrace some new things, some new ways of living. Now, this is normal in the natural sense as well. If somebody is like, "Well, I would like to be more financially blessed or secure," well, if you have no job, you're going to have to get a job. It's something you can see in the natural, but it's also God's principles in his word. To live a life of abundance, you have to choose to learn some new things. The Israelites definitely had to learn some new things as they headed out in that wilderness. If you were here a couple weeks ago, you would have heard Pastor Jen's message about them going through the wilderness and how there was a purpose in the wilderness. How they learned that people don't live by just food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They had to grasp something new. They had to be willing to follow a leader, their God, and hear his voice. It was new. They had to grasp the new things. Do you know that the Israelites had leadership issues? I've met some people over the years that have issues with leaders. It's called leadership issues. The Israelites had a good reason to not trust leaders. Every leader they'd known for generations was a slave driver with a whip. And if you slowed down a little too much, you were beaten. They had family members who were killed by slave drivers. We know that. They had a reason to have leadership issues. But God was saying, "You're going to need to change. You're going to need to grasp something new. I want you to follow my ways. And I want you to follow Moses, who I put to lead you. You want to enter the abundant life that God has, you're going to have to be able to follow leaders that he puts in your life." So there's a few people in here who have some leadership struggles. You've had some horrible bosses. Maybe you've had a not great pastor in the past. People have been hurt. But if you want to enter what he has, you will have to learn to trust and follow him and the leaders he puts in your life. And I said, yes, the leaders he puts in your life. Often we think as believers, well, I'm just choosing. I've found out over the years, we think we're choosing, but God is usually choosing for us because he knows what's good for us. He knows where we'll grow. He knows what we need. Now, that was for the Israelites, but it's also for you and I, because you see, God wants us to grasp the new things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can't just add Jesus to your messed up life. Choosing Jesus is choosing a new life. Choosing Jesus is not like adding another good app on your phone. Choosing Jesus is like throwing away the old phone and getting a new one. That's probably a bad example. But anyhow, choosing Jesus is choosing a new life. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. You see, following God's directions is a new thing for someone who's never done it. And if you want to live the abundant life that Jesus said he had for you, you will have to choose to do the things that he's asked you to do. And my next point is one that you might not like as much, but it's in the Bible, so I got to give it to you. Look at someone and say, this is going to be good, I hope. You know, or whatever. It should be. It's God's word. It's always good. To live a life of abundance that God has for you, you will have to choose to fight some enemies. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. To live a life of abundance, you will have to choose to fight some enemies. Now, I'm going to go right away and tell you, we don't fight with fists and guns. We don't fight in the flesh. I know some of you are getting excited. Woo! Let's duke it out. There's a guy I don't like. No. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, when you choose to follow Jesus, you choose this life he has, you have great authority, and some of you don't know it. You have the authority to see things change in the spiritual realm. You have authority to win battles. And yet when you read this scripture, you see where the battle begins. Casting down arguments and anything that's against the knowledge of God. Taking captive every thought. Every one of those are in the mind and heart. The battle begins, I'll say, here and here. In scripture, the heart and mind are interchangeable. They're saying the real you, the inner you. And that's maybe better than saying mind or heart. The inner you is where the battle begins. The greatest battle for you to walk the life that God has begins in here. It did for the Israelites, and it does for you and I. Because the things we've been through and the patterns that we've set, they are hard to change. They are hard to break. See, the Israelites went through the wilderness, learned some things, ate manna, and finally they arrive at the Jordan River on the very edge of the promised land. They're on the edge of the promised land, and God tells Moses, send in 12 spies. And so they send in 12 spies to check out this amazing, abundant land, the promised land. They come back and they say, you are not going to believe how prosperous and blessed this land is. It is unbelievable. Two of them come back with a cluster of grapes that is so big, they tie it on a pole between two men to carry because it is that big. That's a cluster of grapes. And they say it is an amazing land, but 10 of the people who come back say it's an amazing land, but oh my goodness, the people there are strong. They have been working out. They didn't say that. They have spears. They have walls around the city. Some of them are giants. There's no way we can fight them. This to me is one of you, if you've been here for a number of years, you've heard me tell this story because it's one that just sticks in my mind. It's one that makes me go, no, right on the edge. The enemy never picked up a spear. The enemy never even saw their faces. Because the real enemy was not out there. The real enemy was in here. And when they heard that they would have to fight, they gave up. It said that the people cried all night. Hold on a minute. You're on the edge of the most abundant life you can ever imagine, and they are crying all night. They gave up. It seems that they actually started talking about, we need to find a new leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Because in Egypt, we had good food. What? And in Egypt, we didn't have to fight. Oh, maybe that's where it's really coming. You see, that battle in the mind had them believing that slavery was better than the abundant land we're about to walk into because we don't want to fight. You see, in their minds, they saw God more like a genie. They're going to rub a bottle, sit on a couch, and he's going to just bless them. God is not a genie. God is unbelievable, powerful. He can do whatever he wants, but on this earth, he chooses to work through people, and he chooses to do his miracles and do the things that he does through faith. And faith is you and I taking a step when he says step, whether it looks scary or whether you have to fight some enemies. And if you refuse to step, you will not see his power. If you refuse to fight, you will not enter the abundant life. The Israelites cried all night and said, oh, I wish we'd just died in the wilderness. Wish we could be back in Egypt. They said everything. And God said, okay, fine. I can't take you guys in. You will die in the wilderness. I cannot take you in. What? The God who created the stars and all of this could not take them in? Some of you want to get mad at God for where you are in your life. It is not God's fault. He is 100% ready and willing, but you aren't. And God didn't make robots, and he will not force you in to what he has for you. It's a choice. If you do not like the situation you're in, it's a choice. You see, the Israelites refused to let go of the old way of thinking. They refused to choose God's new plan, and they definitely refused to fight. God said, I give you the promised land. You're going to need to fight. For some of you, God has great things ahead, but you're going to have to say, okay, God, what are you directing me to do? I will do it. I will leave that addiction behind. I will leave that abusive relationship behind. I will quit living common law. I will do it your way. Don't be too wimpy to fight. I didn't say be easy. If you want to enter his abundance, then you're going to have to leave some things behind. I will do relationship the way you say. And when you take the first step, he will be right there. You see, the Israelites finally did enter the promised land, but it was the next generation. He said, you're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody that's over the age of 20 is not coming in. 20 and under, I'm going to teach them some new things while we walk around, and they're going to be ready to believe me when we come to this Jordan River again. And they came to the Jordan River. Moses can't even go in, and Joshua is now going to lead them in. Joshua is a little bit scared, and I know that because in Joshua 1, God tells him not once but twice, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous. Why was he afraid? Because the first time they went to go in, he was a young man, and he was one of those 12 spies, and him and Caleb told the people, go in, we can do it, we got this, God will make a way. And the people rose up ready to kill him with stones. Now that's crazy. You want to step out in faith, and other people want to kill you. And here Joshua is now in charge. He's 40 years older, but he remembers some of those things. And God says, don't you dare be afraid. He said, here's what I want you to do. You get the people ready. You tell them, get yourself ready. Isn't that amazing? Whenever God's about to do something great, he says, get yourself ready. You're making a mental choice. You're preparing some things. You're already making up your mind. You see, the first step of faith is words and whatever action you can do right now. He says, get the priests, get them to get the ark, and tell them to head into the Jordan River, which is overflowing its banks. You can't just walk through. And as they step into the river, the first step, they had to do something. But as they stepped into the river, it said the waters stopped flowing. They became a heap farther away, and the bottom of the river is completely dry, and 2 million people walk across. Yeah, God will do miracles. Yeah, God will blow your mind, but you need to take the first step. And when he says the next step, you need to take the next step. I have found that people are afraid to move into the new. They're afraid to move into the abundance because they're thinking of all the steps. You see, that first time around when they looked, they were like, oh, we got to defeat all the giants tomorrow. No, you don't. But you do need to step now. Step, step, step. And you need to fight. But you know what? As I preach this, I'm not worried. I see some fighters in here. There's some of you, I'm glad I didn't meet you before you were saved. I'm just saying. You guys are not wimps. You're okay. You just didn't know you were allowed. But again, not physical. He's given you some courage inside that you don't quit when it gets tough. You don't give in. It blows me away the number of people that I talk to. They make up their mind. I'm leaving alcohol behind. I'm leaving drugs behind. And literally the week they make up their mind, somebody is trying to bring them free alcohol or drugs. What is up with that? It's a fight. The enemy doesn't want you to quit. The enemy doesn't want you to enter the new life. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, the Israelites had a slave mentality. They're unwilling to believe. And they're unwilling to act. Do you guys know what a slave mentality is? A slave mentality is a way of thinking where you blame everything in your life on somebody else. Because a slave, really, their life is controlled and owned, and they kind of have a right almost to, don't they? Well, it is the slave driver's fault. You know, I've been whipped. This is horrible. It's a negative mentality where nothing good can happen for me, and it's everybody else's fault. If you hold on to that mentality, you will never enter his abundant life. Because if your excuse in life for the rest of your life will be everybody else, you will never change what you're doing. You will never take a step. And you see, the thing with a slave mentality, it had gone for generations. Parents didn't teach their kids how to do well at business and how to prosper. Parents taught their kids how to listen to the slave driver so they wouldn't be killed. Generations of it. And it's very negative mindset. I'm not putting the Israelites down. Can you imagine? What stories are you going to have to share that are positive? They went through a season where, because they were multiplying so rapidly, that the Pharaoh says, we're going to kill every baby boy. Can you imagine? I don't know what you've been through, but oh my goodness. You hear your neighbor's kid just got a sword through him. You hear they're just throwing him in the river. They're drowning him. Yeah, they had some horrible stuff happen. Their negativity came from some junk. But they had to leave that mindset behind. They were no longer slaves. Their life was no longer to blame on somebody else. You see, if you've said, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus, you've got to leave that mindset behind. You can't wake up every morning blaming your mom, your dad, your uncle, your ex. It's a new life, and you need a new mentality. You need to drop the slave mentality and understand that in God's eyes, you are one of his kids. You are a king or a queen. You are a priest. You rule and reign with him now. And when you understand that, life gets awesome. Oh, yeah, and did I say you'll have to fight? Oh, you'll have to fight. But I found something. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Oh, that conquer word is a fight word. Look at that. We're more than conquerors. through Christ Jesus. We win. We already win. Hebrews 3:16, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? Now listen to verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. Everyone say, we see. You see, you see, you see, we see. Okay, I didn't mean to do that. Anyways, we can see that they did not believe by their actions. You see, you can say you believe, but if your actions don't follow it, you don't. What you believe and what you don't believe will be seen in your actions. We can see that they did not believe when they rebelled. We can see they did not believe when they continued in sin. We can see they did not believe when they disobeyed. Let's just be like straight out there. If the pastor tells you according to scripture, if you're living common law, you don't enter the kingdom of heaven, and you keep living common law, you don't believe him. Like honestly, if you believe that, you do something. Let me give you a picture that's probably not a great picture, but let's say I told you in this section over here, I said earlier today, you know, I got a text and someone told me they put a bomb under that row right there. And oh, look, it's going to go off in 30 seconds. Everyone who believed me, how would we know they believed me? They would run. Everyone who didn't believe me, they would what? They would sit there and laugh. What you believe is followed by action. You don't believe it, you don't act. They're like, yeah, but what? You got some fight in you? God will show up. Take the first step. Take the first step and watch what he does, but take no steps. That's your choice. To begin living an abundant life that Jesus makes available, and this is my final point because I want to end early today. To enter that life he makes available, you will need to choose to follow him. Isn't this crazy? It's a choice. Nobody can force you to follow him. Nobody can force you into the life he has. You must choose. Matthew 11:28, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you're here today and you've never had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to say, I do want to follow him, sign me up. Well, you sign yourself up. And you sign yourself up by believing, and the first action step when you believe that Jesus is real, when you believe that he died for your sins, the first action step is you use words. That's crazy, isn't it? There's an action step. We don't deserve it. Salvation, we didn't pay for salvation. It is free, but to receive it requires you to believe and take an action step. That's Romans 10, verse 9, by the way, if you're wondering what scripture says that. So guess what? Every service, I take an opportunity in case someone has come and they've never had that opportunity to pray. They've never had the opportunity to use words. I want to see you enter what Christ has for you. And so we're going to say a simple prayer that you can repeat. Your repeating just lets you use words. So if you're believing today, yes, I want the life he has for me. I want to enter and follow Jesus. Then I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And as we do, congregation, I'm going to ask you to join for those who are new. So say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that.